to hold out the word of life, to as a waiter would, working a reception area. Today we're going to talk about becoming a contagious life. See, if we've been saved and delivered, people should want what we have. It's that simple. I don't know if you've ever been at a a restaurant, undecided on what to order. Sometimes that happens to me. Then you hear someone else order something that sounds really good, and you tell the wait staff, I'll have what they're having. That's how people should feel when they come in contact with us as Jesus followers. I'll have what they're having. Whatever they have, I'll have. The truth is that on one hand, it seems like a big responsibility to live like Jesus. But when people are dying without Jesus, things are brought into perspective, proper perspective. We're not limited to our strength or our abilities at all. The heart of God is summed up in this verse in 2 Peter 3:9. God isn't late with his promise as some measure lateness. He is restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone lost. He's giving everyone space and time to change. As a child of the King, we are to be agents of that change. We are to be carriers of the gospel. We are to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So the big question you might be asking is this: how do I become contagious with the gospel? Two things are required. You must truly love the people that God created. Now maybe you think that's an easy thing. Well, you haven't hung out with someone that I've hung out with before. Some people are hard to love. I'm hard to love at times. First thing, love people that God created. Second thing is you must live your life according to the word of God. Those are the two prerequisites for being a life that would be contagious to others. Now, the enemy wants to discourage us all along the way, so it's going to be a battle. But Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, 13 through 16, how we are to live in a few short verses. Verse 13, let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and you will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, this is Jesus speaking. Don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you will prompt others to open up with God, their generous Father in heaven. So, we're to be salt and light for Jesus. Salt making others thirsty for the things of God, and light making it possible for others to see God and his ways clearer. Here's what I found in certain foods. Some foods need more salt than others. Some people need more salt on their food than others. If there's one thing Susan asks me every meal, do you need any salt? Generally, I'll say no, unless we're having string beans. String beans need salt. Some people need more salt than others. Meaning we're going to have to be really salty with some for them to get thirsty. And the same thing about light. There are people that, you know, as I get older, I need more light. I used to could read in the dark. Now I can't do that very well. So I need more light in my life now. And that's a natural thing. But think about the spiritual connotation. There are people that need more light than others. Just to get an idea that that's God. Some need more salt than others just to get an idea that that's God. But in Matthew, the verses that precede those verses we just read, the Bible calls this group the Beatitudes. Biblical scholars would say they're the Sermon on the Mount. But in the margin of my Bible, I've written, "This is a different way to live and act." I wrote that on the side of Matthew 5. It's a different way to live. It's a different way to act. Starting in verse 1, it says, "When Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions." This is what he said. "This is a new way to live. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what's most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one who most is by one most dear to you." Verse 5, "You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourself proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink and the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, F-U-L-L, you find yourselves cared for. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. That persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Not only that, count yourself blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me." That's what Jesus says. What it means is the truth is too close for comfort and they're uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even, for though they don't like it, I do. He ends that with "All heaven applauds and know that you're in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble." This is a new way to live. People see how you live. In my men's small group, we're talking about areas in our lives as men that men need that need constant attention. The first three areas in this study is our physical health, our mental health, and our spiritual health. And at the end of every session, we are challenged to make a decision just to become 5% better in those areas. I wonder if we could, as Jesus followers, make the decision today to get 5% more contagious for Jesus as we live our lives. I wonder if we could just do that small thing. Listen, on days that you find yourself at the end of your rope, what if we stirred ourselves up by reminding ourselves how God has come through for us in the past? See, you got to remember, never will he leave you or forsake you. On days where we experience loss, what if we stirred ourselves up by reminding ourselves how God has given us far more than we've ever lost? Remember, God is a God of abundance. On days we find ourselves desiring for more tangible things, if I could just get more stuff, what if we stirred ourselves up by reminding ourselves what God has done for us is priceless? God's gifts are eternal. On the days we find ourselves hungry for the things in the natural, what if we stirred ourselves up by reminding ourselves that what God has for us is a 5-star meal? Remember, God is more than enough. On days when we find ourselves not caring for others, and maybe that happens to you as well, what if we stirred ourselves up by reminding ourselves that God deeply cares for all? He's just not going to care for just the ones that you like or that don't rub you wrong. He cares for all. He wants none to perish. On days where we find ourselves down because of the condition of the world around us, that can happen. What if we stirred ourselves up by reminding ourselves to concentrate on tending to our heart and our mind? Remember, we must seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, His way of doing and being right. On days when we find ourselves wanting to compete or fight against others, what if we stirred ourselves up by reminding ourselves that God wants us to have a cooperative spirit? And remember, as far as it depends on us, we're to live at peace with everybody. On days when we find ourselves being treated poorly because of our faith in God, what if we stirred ourselves up by reminding ourselves that God does a deep work in us during those times? Remember, we are to trust God at all times. He will not fail. On days when we find our reputation being attacked to discredit Jesus, what if we stirred ourselves up by realizing that heaven is applauding, and comforting ourselves by reminding ourselves that we're not the first one to experience that? Heaven is full of people whose reputation was attacked because of Jesus, because of their stand with Jesus. You've got to remember that God is our strength and our salvation. He is our deliverance. He is our strength and our song, the Bible tells us. That means there needs to be a song in our heart. Yeah, life is tough, and there are things that aren't going well, but yet will I praise Him. Yet will I praise Him. No matter what's going on in my life. And when you do all those things, when you just get 5% better in all those areas in this description of how to live a different life, guess what'll happen? If we choose to show this different way of living, people will want what we have. If we choose to show this different way of living, people will actually be drawn to us. Some of you have experienced that. All of a sudden, someone just is drawn to you, and they really can't figure out why. If we choose to show this different way of living, people will catch what we have. If we choose to show this different way of living, we will be salt. We will be light. And people will be affected. If we choose to show this different way of living, we will become contagious. And people that are close to you will start adapting some of those things they see in your life. Why? Because they see it works in your life. All of a sudden, their language may change because they've been around someone who lives a different way. All of a sudden, how they treat others may change because they've been around someone who has a different way of living. God wants us to stand out in how we live. Not to draw attention to ourselves, but to draw attention to Him. I don't know how many times I've heard people respond in a godly way and others be absolutely shocked. I can't believe when I went through that, I didn't respond that way. But the more we're with people, the more we live out loud this life, the more contagious we become. And then they begin to pick it up. I don't know if you've ever worked with a coworker that was the farthest thing from a Jesus follower, as you can imagine. I've worked with some of those, not in the church, not mind you, before my church. But I remember working with some, and of course they just lived for partying. It's the thing they did every day when they got off work, and they just lived for it. But they saw me live different. Now, was I perfect? No, and I probably let a word or two fly every now and then, and that weakened my witness. I understand that, and I really grieve over those kinds of situations. But they saw me handling things. In fact, this one job that I was in the worst possible time of my life, and I was at my worst, and they saw me respond godly. Not in everything. I wasn't perfect in it. But it started becoming something they watched. And all of a sudden, if they watch it long enough, they'll start adopting some of that. And when they adopt it, they've caught what you've got. And wouldn't it be awesome if we understood the power of our witness to live a different way and how loud that speaks to others? We handle people all the time. You handle conflict all the time. We handle situations and stress all the time. But how do you handle it? Do you handle it like the world? Or do you handle it from the perspective of that new way of living that Jesus came for us to have? See, I'm convinced that you will not find the abundant life without applying the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, the new way of living to your life. And therefore, you're not responding like the culture says. You're not responding the way everybody else thinks you should. But you're holding to a higher standard. And it's the God standard. If we say He saved us, forgave us, set our feet on solid ground, we've got our life should show it. People should be in a restaurant and wondering, I'll have what they're having when they see you pray for your meal. There's not a whole lot you can do in a restaurant that would cause someone to be to glean something, but that's one way. Also, when your wait staff gets it wrong, how do you treat your wait staff? When the bill is a little higher than you imagine. We went to a restaurant the other day. I promise you, we are never going back. It was a great meal. And you know what? You pay for greatness. I got the bill. We were with some other people that I didn't want to react and respond. I had to catch my breath. I ordered the special. I like specials. Well, they didn't put a price on the special. And, well, I ate good that night. I'll tell you that. But, you know, there are things that we can do in daily life that people will find that you are living a different way. I could have lost it at the restaurant and embarrassed my wife to the hilt. And that, actually, I would have been banned for the restaurant. Went, hey, that's okay. But I could have caused all kind of problems. But little things that you do of this new way of living go a long way. You know, I know I talk about my driving all the time, and ever since we talked the last month, I've been really convicted. I've been driving really good and not using my horn. Get this, yesterday, we pull up to a stoplight. Now, it's a big, beefy car next to me. You know, it sounded good, you know, all that. Had our top down, had his window down. I just looked over and smiled at him. He rolled his window up. I've not had that many times happen to me. But I've been trying to be good. But I'll tell you that people are watching you. And they're watching you at your lowest point. And they're saying, well, if that's how, I know he says he's a Christian. And if that's how he acts, that must be how a Christian acts. And that's no better than what I do. So I don't need what they have. We need to make sure that we're living a life out loud with the stuff that Jesus wants them to have. I don't want to ever be one that would turn someone away from God. And you know, when you're a professing Christian and you really blow it, if you leave it there, you're going to turn them away from God. But there's key to repentance. It's important, if you blow it, that you go to those people and you say, you know, I shouldn't have said that word. I shouldn't have fussed like that. I shouldn't have treated somebody like that. And that salvages your testimony. But many times we just don't want to go back and do the hard thing. We don't want to go back and admit we were wrong. But when we don't do that, we have actually aborted our testimony, and they don't want what we have. It's important that we live our life with Jesus shining, so that people can see the goodness of God in the land of the living, and they start wanting what you have. We need to be as contagious as that germ was on the pharmacy door handle with others. When they come in contact with us, something of God is attached. Think about that. We serve the creator of the universe that can do all things. He can cause our good, godly lifestyle to affect others and become contagious. And people will want some of that. They will want what you have. They will want whatever it takes. And maybe they'll ask you, well, how in the world are you this peaceful when this thing just happened? Well, what an opportunity. Well, the Lord gives me peace because I am not dependent on what happens around me. He's got my back. He's going before me. He's going to take care of me. And it might not end up, you might have to explain it this way, it might not end up like I wanted, but I trust God to carry me through. Do you live your life so evident with this new way of living that others around you want some of that? I hope you do. I think that's when the church becomes powerful, when people are contagious and everywhere they go, things are better because of the power of God. You join a dysfunctional team all of a sudden because of the power of God, that team functions better. Doesn't mean everybody's given their life to Jesus, but it does mean you have influence. And we have got so much influence, we just don't realize how much influence we have. We can walk through a room and not even speak to someone, and we'll influence others in a negative way. Or we can walk into a room realizing that these are all God's creatures, creations, and they're valuable to Him. And it changes the environment. I believe that as we go into situations, we take the Holy Spirit with us. And I believe He's powerful. I believe that He changes hearts. I believe that He convicts sin. I believe He does all kinds of things. And we are a carrier of that. The gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to make people want Jesus. We are to make people see Jesus. And the only way we can do that is living our life. This new way of living that's described in the Sermon on the Mount. The Beatitudes, we take these as how to guide our life. And you say, well, I can't change that much. Just change 5%. Just do 5% more. Get 5% better. Now, my group meets tomorrow night, and I'm going to have to fess up because I made a 5% commitment in the physical health thing, and I didn't do it. So if you're part of my group, I've already told you. The pressure's off for the tomorrow night's group. But there's a sense that unless we plan to do better, we won't. I wouldn't have felt guilty if I hadn't planned to do better. I planned to do better, to work in a little cardio, as my doctor has been wanting for years. But that, to me, that's just 5% better. If I can just do 5%, if you could just do 5% better in living a life described by Jesus, this new way of living, I think you'd be amazed at how it's affecting people. And you will find people, you know, that want, what you have. And they may be timid about asking you questions. But one day they'll get bold. How do you do this? How do you go through a grieving situation and not lose your mind? How do you go through a financial issue and not just give up and run away? How do you do these things? And we then, knowing that we've got the Word of God on this tray that we're serving, that we begin just to tell them what God says. God says He loves you. God says he'll take care of things for you. God says he'll carry you no matter what. God says he will do all these things, and it's not that it's just that you're special. You are special to God, but he will do that for every one of his creations. You don't have to earn it. See, all these are following conversations from living a life that's evident that you're living different. Anyone that's successful in any area of their life, people want to know what they do to get there. Talked to a young man the other day, and he makes a list every day of what he wants to do. That day. He may not accomplish them all, but he makes a list. And I asked him point blank, I said, well, how did you start doing that? What made you start doing that? He said, I began to read about millionaires and billionaires, and they all made a list. So he adopted that. Now, it's certainly paid off in his business realm. But I want you to think about the things of God. When we implement those things, we've got this great pattern here of how to live and how to go through trials and how to go through difficulties and how to do all those things. And if we just do it according to the handbook, we're going to see God all around us moving in our situations, moving in our faith, building our faith. Being conscious that people are watching, and we may only have this one instance to influence them, one instance to be salt or light. And so you just live the way God wants you to live. Live this new way of living, and it'll speak loudly. It'll speak loudly to your family. It'll speak loudly to your friends. It'll speak loudly to your work staff. It'll speak loudly, because there is just a way the world does things and then a way God does things. They are diametrically opposite. And the world will say, this is what you need to do if you want to get over this. But God says, I've got a better way. Don't get stuck on the things that the world says is right or will work. No. Let's get stuck here. Let's take his word, digest it, keep it in our heart, keep it in our mind, knowing that you are a servant of the Lord and you are walking around carrying, you are a living epistle. That as you walk through life, you're carrying the word of God, you're carrying God's presence, you're carrying the goodness of God, the power of God, you're carrying everything that God has, you're carrying it because he's given that to you. And it'll make a difference. I promise you it'll make a difference. And if it seems too overwhelming, just do one little part. Just get a little bit better at it. Just be a little more conscious of your witness. Just be a little more conscious of how you're living and how people see you living. And do you practice what you preach? Or do you just say, no, do as I say and not what I do? That confuses people. And when they get confused, they don't want what you want. There's enough confusion without getting it from someone that says they know God. So we need to be bold and live this life. And knowing that we're to be contagious. We even need to get to the point where our shadows heal people. That's contagious. That's powerful. The Bible tells us that we're going to see greater things than what Jesus did. And I don't know what all that is. All I know is I'm going to be obedient to God. I'm going to get better every day, and I'm going to implement those things in Matthew that he says this is the new way to live, and it'll be good, and it won't only be good for you. It'll be good for those around you. And see, we don't live our life for ourselves. We shouldn't be asking just God for all these blessings just for us. No, I want a blessing so I can be a blessing. I want you to bless me, God, so I can give it away. That's the heart of God. And God wants a people that are not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not saying be, I don't know what the word is, but just beating people up with it. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I think if we just naturally live the way God wants us to live, there's a power that will be produced in our life. and people are going to want what we have. Amen. 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 Heavenly Father.